God is good, amen? Glory to God. You know, I was thinking about, as my wife was talking about, Jeremiah 29:11 up there. You know, of course, we love that. We always tell people, you know, it's not just thoughts, it's thoughts and plans. You know, I got to thinking about how it's such a popular thing in our culture for people to say, oh, I'm thinking about you, you know. You know, and that, I guess that's nice, you know, that it's nice to think that people think nice thoughts towards you. Isn't it nice when people think nice things towards you? And then they let you know, hey, I've been thinking good thoughts towards you. But how many know that it doesn't go much more beyond a feeling? Praise the Lord. When somebody thinks a good thought, if they, and we can use this for bad thoughts. If someone's thinking bad thoughts, well, it's not going to go much more than a feeling. But God isn't one that just thinks, amen. He's one who thinks and has got power to back it up, amen. And I love that because as God is thinking about us, he's thinking about, a lot of times he's thinking about the ways to get us out of the trouble we've gotten ourselves into, yeah. Praise the Lord. But God has good things for us. He has good plans for us. And I love that we have Jeremiah 29:11 to stand on. You know, there's some people that's preaching today, nowadays, to say that, and this is a true story, that Jeremiah 29:11 does not apply to Christians. I don't see how it doesn't, since we're told in Scripture that the whole Scripture applies to us. But some people like to preach that. Now, praise the Lord, if you want to believe that God doesn't have good plans for you, good thoughts towards you, well, that's up to you, I guess. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to serve a God that doesn't have good thoughts or good plans for me and for my family, praise the Lord, and my church. Dear Lord, I mean, why would I want to serve somebody who's got plans to destroy me or plans to make it harder on me? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense, does it? And there's some foolishness. And there's people that literally believe. I mean, there are people out there that literally believe and preach that people that believe the way we do are going to hell. Yeah, because we believe in the goodness of God. I don't get it. Praise the Lord. Those same people talk about how God is love, but he's sending someone to hell because they just believe in his extreme goodness. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know. That's free, no charge. But we're not going to be of those people that have twisted minds and let the devil come in and steal from us. Praise the Lord. We're going to go on believing what God has for us. Well, you know, this week's message I had prepared about, Tuesday or Wednesday this week, and I was excited about it. Praise the Lord. Excited to be able to preach it. You know, I've been preaching a series on faith, and I thought, man, I'm just going to keep going in this way. And it seemed right and good to me, praise the Lord, all the way up until I preached last night. And then I preached last night, and I was leaving church last night, and I was saying to my wife, I was like, I think I might have to preach this in Mayville. And I didn't want to do that. And, of course, I never like preaching the same message twice anyways, and it doesn't ever really come out that way if I do. I've only done it twice, right? I've done it once, and it didn't come out the same way anyways. But there's some other things that were revealed to me during the service that I didn't get into. And so those things got added into today's service. If you don't know what it's like to have your game plan change 10 minutes before you get there, praise the Lord, it's not necessarily a fun thing. And that's part of following God is learning. You know, he doesn't mind our flesh being uncomfortable. Yes. Well, praise the Lord. I do mind it being uncomfortable. I don't like it to be uncomfortable. I like getting my message on Tuesday or Wednesday and then, you know, coasting into the weekend. But it's not going to happen that way. So if you were there last night or if you watched last night, don't tune me out because it's the same message he preached last night. There will be elements of the same. The idea is the same, but God has something for us here today too. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what I saw as I was preparing the message yesterday, preparing to preach the message yesterday, you know, what I saw was such an important understanding in what he was showing me. Amen. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, we can get into this rut as we're going through life. You know, we come into the church and at first most people are excited about the word that they hear. They're excited about the things that they hear out of my mouth. Praise the Lord, because I'm preaching something maybe a little bit different than what they've heard before. They're seeing things that maybe they haven't seen before. Glory to God. And it's not because I'm preaching something new. I'm just preaching the word. Amen. But I'm presenting it in a way, we present it in our circles in a way a lot of times that people have kind of lost track of. You know, but people come in and they get excited about the word and they rejoice at it. And it's usually that they think it's my good looks, but it's generally not that. That keeps people locked in, praise the Lord, and wanting to come back. It's the word of God because there's something different about it. Yeah. But you know, after time goes on, after a little bit of time goes on, people start growing a little bit and you've heard the word a lot. Maybe you've heard the same thing a few times, praise the Lord, and you've heard things things over and over and over again, and sometimes that starts to push on you a little bit and press on you, and maybe you're not seeing the same change. And it's all in how we connect to it. God has never intended his people to be stale. But you understand that I'm not preaching a new word. And so if you hear me preaching something again, or if we preach an idea over again, or you hear it over again and it hasn't changed in you, you have to understand something. I'm preaching a 2,000-year-old word. Yeah. Glory to God. It hasn't changed. And so the things we're preaching is still the truth. But it matters in how we connect to it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so today's message, I'm not calling it the same thing, because yesterday's message was called Steps to Increase. Praise the Lord. And it was fully about that. But today's message is called Sowing and Reaping. Praise the Lord. And that's what Steps to Increase really are. Sowing and Reaping. Praise the Lord. And you're not going to see anything up on, well, they might be able to pull some scriptures up. Praise the Lord. But I didn't even have enough time to send them the scriptures that I was preaching. So praise the Lord for it. So if you didn't bring your Bible, well, glory to God. Remember it next week, because we might not have the scriptures. Hey, if the power's out, we'll preach under candlelight and you won't know where it's at. We want to know. Amen. It's important to have the Word of God with us, because if we can't learn in church, you know, what is church for? Church is for equipping the saints. Yeah. If you can't learn where it is in your Bible, praise the Lord, when you need it, you're not going to know where to go get it. Bringing your Bible is incredibly important. Amen. We don't put the scriptures up here so people can forget their Bibles at home. We put the scriptures up here to help people, to show people, sometimes for new people, praise the Lord, that didn't bring their Bible. But, praise the Lord, if we're going to be disciples, we need to get all that we need to get. Amen. Praise the Lord. You remember, I don't know if you ever remember being in school, and some of us, it's been a long time, but I remember being in school, and what would happen if you didn't have your books? You know what I mean? It was what's that? You might get detention. Amen. Well, you don't want to get God detention. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll just keep you after, praise the Lord, and preach to you all night long. Hallelujah. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. But today's message is sowing and reaping. Praise the Lord. As we were coming into, when we were in worship, the Lord was dealing with me about a lot of things. And one of the things he dealt with me on is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, and it says, I think it's verse 8, it says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. You know, we have to remember that, folks, that as we come to the Word, and this goes right along with this message, because how we receive the Word is a form of sowing and reaping. In fact, how we receive the Word is sowing, and we will reap according to how we receive it. Amen? And so we have to understand the Bible says that if you true love rejoices in truth. And so sometimes truth, we know, will step on our toes and stuff, but that's okay, because we want to be those who receive from it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But this is something that the Spirit shared with me as we were in worship today. What you build on is what will sustain you or destroy you. Praise the Lord. What you build on, okay, we're going to see this in the Word today, but what you build on will either sustain you or it will destroy you. Now, we're not going to the Scripture, but we all know that Jesus talked about building your house on the rock, right? He told us what happens when you build your house on the sand. What is building your house on the sand? It's doctrine that isn't God. It's doctrine that doesn't line up with the truth of the Word. It's man's ideas. It's man's wisdom. It's man's, it's whatever man wants. It's not what God has directed. And so we have to understand that. So what we built on, and we see there in those scriptures where Jesus talks about that, we see that the house that's built on the rock, or the foundation of Jesus Christ, that foundation will stand. It'll be strong. And even though the storms in life come, or the it blows at it, it won't knock the house down. Praise the Lord. But people who build on lesser ideas or partial truths, how many know that if you have a half foundation, it's still not good? Glory to God. There, you know how many Christians, there's a lot of Christians that will come to a good church like ours that preaches the Word, but they'll only receive so much of the Word, and so they have a half foundation. And what happens with a half foundation? Well, half the house still falls. And there's a chance when half the house falls, it can pull the rest of it with it. Amen? You don't want half your house falling, even if it's a half you don't like. Amen? You want a good foundation underneath it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what you build on is what will sustain you or destroy you. So we have to understand that there absolutely, it's up to us what kind of life we live. Everything in the Bible points back to this. God has already supplied. He's already given us. He's already provided the way. So it's up to us whether or not we choose to live in that or not. Plain and simple. I can't say it any simpler, any easier. All I know is this, that everything is about how we connect to what God is doing. We experience, our experience in life will be according to how we connect to that. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that every little thing that ever happens to you that's bad is your fault. That's not what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. And so we have to understand that. And I also want you to understand, I'm going to give you the same message that I gave them last night and Corey, and that's that this message is not about just sowing your money and reaping your money. That could be included in this, but this is about every area of your life. Anything that you want, anything you sow into is something that you will reap from. If you want a good marriage and you won't sow into it, you will never have a good marriage. It won't happen. Good marriages don't just, they don't just happen. They don't just fall in your lap. My wife and I do not have the most wonderful marriage on earth because we were just blessed. We have it because we sow into it, both of us. And when two people sow into it, it's wonderful. Praise the Lord. If one person's sowing into it, sometimes it's like a house with a half foundation. And so we understand that. And so it's not your fault if, you know, you came into the church, you came to God later on and you're married and maybe your spouse doesn't serve God. It doesn't want anything to do with God. That doesn't take your responsibility away. You can sow into it. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that other person will get in line with that. Amen. We understand that. And so there's more instruction at that point. But the basic truth is that what we sow into or how we sow into something determines how we reap. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it's about every area of your life. So when you think about this message, what you need to think about is, where am I sowing in my life? Or where do I have need of reaping in my life? Praise the Lord. If I have need of reaping in an area, it doesn't come by begging. It doesn't come by pleading. Amen. It comes by sowing and reaping. Praise the Lord. This is another thing that the Spirit spoke to me as I was coming into service today, is his path. Well, actually, it was when I was praying. You remember when I stopped, just kind of praying, you know, praise the Lord. And we're worshiping God, and I was writing this down. His path is free and clear. Yeah. Amen? So when you follow God's path, it's free and clear. The way is paved. It's paid for. Everything that's on God's path is set up and ready for you to go. That does not mean there won't be opposition. Of course, there will be opposition. We have an enemy. There will be opposition. Everybody say, there will be, opposition. Regardless of how awesome I am. No, I said me. I am. No, praise the Lord. I'm just kidding. How awesome we are. Amen. It does not matter. There will be opposition. So no matter how much you read the word, no matter how much you pray, no matter how spiritual you are, guess what? You will have opposition, but his path is free and clear. What does that mean? That means the opposition doesn't have place. The opposition doesn't have a place. That's just the best way to say it. I need to say it another way. It doesn't have a place. If it has place in our life, if opposition has place in our life, let me say this again. If opposition has place in our lives, it is because we allow it. It's because we let it. Praise the Lord. God has already ordained that it should not overtake us. Read the scriptures. But if it has place in our lives, it's because we allowed it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Some people do not like the message that says that we have responsibility. I'm over it. I don't care anymore, because you know what? The more I get into the word for myself, not even for you, I'm getting in the word for myself. I'm like, all right, God, I need answers. I got to come to the word. And you know what I find out every single time? It's up to me. Yeah. It's up to me. Praise the Lord. That's sowing and reaping, folks. Yeah. If I realize that it's up to me and I start sowing towards that, praise the Lord, I'm going to reap from that. Glory to God. And so how do we do that? You know, my wife and I have been making changes in our lives in various forms. Praise the Lord. And, you know, and one of the forms is in our diet. And people say, well, you're on a diet. No, we're not on a diet. We're trying to make changes. We're attempting to do it. Why? Because our life is up to us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The way we were living was not sustainable in this area or that area or whatever. And so we have to determine whether or not we're going to do what we need to do. Amen? What God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. He will not sustain us when we're on our own path just doing what we want to do. Amen? Okay, praise the Lord. I got lots of stuff here. But now this is breaking into the message, praise the Lord. God's people erringly try to reap where they haven't sown. I see this most often in prayer. I knew it from when I was a child growing up. I saw it in prayer then. God's people erringly try to reap where they haven't sown. And what do we mean by that? Have you ever just gone to God in prayer because you need something, but you haven't been very faithful? You haven't been in your word. You haven't been in prayer. You haven't been in church. And you sit there and you go to God and you're praying for something because all of a sudden now you have need. What is that? That's reaping where you haven't sown. You're trying to go to somebody else's field and pick where you haven't sown. Now, one of the things I know is, you know, I look at a field. I love the fields of grapes around here in the summertime or in the early fall, late, you know. Now, yeah, praise the Lord. And every time I drive by them, there's just, you know, you smell the grapes coming off. It smells like grape bubblegum coming off the hills, praise the Lord. I love it. And every time I drive by, I think, man, I want to go get me some of those grapes. But maybe I don't have any money in my pocket. But I don't just pull over and go into that vineyard. Well, they've got lots of them. It doesn't matter. They're not mine. See, you can't, it is wrong. It is called thievery. It is the devil that tries to take what isn't theirs, what doesn't belong to them, just because they want it or need it. Praise the Lord. Or it's still thieving. It's still stealing. We don't, I know in this country, we're starting to like to try to justify people that thieve from other people, but we don't do that. That's still wrong. It doesn't matter if you think you need it. It's still not right to take what someone else is. Why? Because it doesn't belong to you. Well, praise the Lord. But see, if your Father is that your heavenly Father, then He has promised that all things, because we're heirs to all things that are His, and all things belong to Him ultimately. That still doesn't mean you can go to the field and take the grapes. You know, the farmer comes out, well, you know, this is God's, and I'm God's child. I'm just taking what's mine. No, the farmer won't hear that. Amen. But people, the same thing, you know, God has provided a way for us to get into His graces, to have every prayer of ours answered. Every prayer of ours answered. But how are we connected? Where have we sown? Do we sow into God? It's a back and forth relationship. And if you don't believe me, think about a marriage. How good is a marriage where one person just does everything for the marriage and the other person just does what they want? I don't care about any of that. You know why marriages go south? Because somebody or both people are selfish. That's the only reason. Somebody or both people go selfish. That's the only reason marriage goes wrong. If both people did what the word said, then no marriage would ever have to fail. But some people just won't. Amen? But people are erringly try to reap where they haven't sown. They want a good relationship. They don't sow into the relationship. You know, we have a nice house. You know what I've learned about nice houses? They don't last long if you don't take care of them. Why? If you're not sowing into it, if you're not doing things, if you're not fixing that little thing when it breaks a little bit, then when it breaks a lot, amen? You know, I think about this often because I've always been a culprit of this. Denny could probably attest to seeing this type of thing. But, you know, we have those things on our cars, right? And they're called rotors, right? And then we have brake pads, right? And when those brake pads start going bad, if you replace them, then the rotors generally stay fine for a while, right? But if you don't take care of the brake pads, what happens? The rotors get bad too. Now, everybody knows when you have to replace brake pads, it's bad enough. But when you have to replace brake pads and rotors, nobody likes to hear the mechanic say that. I'm sure Denny's been yelled at a few times because he's told somebody that they've grooved up their rotors or something like that. But we know when you don't sow into something, when you don't take care of it, then you're going to reap the bad parts of that. Amen? And so that's why it's important to take care of things, to be up on things. Amen? But every area of our life applies to this, whether it's brake pads and rotors or whether it's time with our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. If we're not sowing, we're not going to reap. And so God's people are all the time, they're going to God in prayer, but then the rest of the week, they forget about Him. They're not evangelizing. They're not trying to win anybody to Christ. They're not trying to help anybody else. They're just consumed with their own stuff. They're consumed with their own life, what they're doing. They don't care about what's going on at the church or what's going on here or what's going on there. They just don't care. They come to church on Sunday and they think, well, that I got my weekly. Listen, if coming to church on Sunday is your weekly duty to God, your brother or sister, you failed. I'm just telling you, you haven't done anything for them. Because we don't come to church until people realize we don't come to church for God. We come to church for us. Praise the Lord. We need it. It's not being here isn't about, like, I'm talking about us sitting here right now. You're all saying, well, we're here. Yeah, you're here. But you have to sit here with the right understanding. Because if you don't, you're sowing in the wrong place. Praise the Lord. Do you know how people come to church is sowing and reaping? If you come to church, what is he going to preach on again today? Well, are we going to go on faith again? Are we going to hear this again? You're going to reap what you're sowing. Yeah, absolutely. And it comes in all kinds of areas of your life. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You want scripture, though. Turn with me to Genesis 8:22. Praise the Lord. So we have to understand these things. There are truths. There are way that things work. And this is maybe, well, it's a very important scripture for today anyways. It's not the best scripture, but it's very important. Genesis 8:22. What does it say here? It says, while the earth remains. Everybody say this with me. While the earth remains. What does that mean? It means while the earth is still here and we're still living on it. You living on the earth? Yes. You here today? Praise the Lord. Do you live on the earth? Praise. So this applies to you just as much as it did when it was written, 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years, whatever it was. Praise the Lord. That's how old this word is. Amen. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, praise the Lord, and day and night shall not cease. Now we see day and night, hey, it happens, doesn't it? Have you ever had a day where it didn't turn into night? Not yet. Have you ever had a night that hasn't turned into day? I ain't seen one. I've been here 43 years. I know I ain't seen it all, but I haven't seen one day that hasn't turned into night or vice versa. You know what else we like to see around here? Cold and heat, right? We get July where it's too hot. You can't go outside sometimes. Well, at least for me, I don't like it. I still go outside, but you know what I mean. Praise the Lord. And then we get winter where it's so cold you can't go outside. Cold and heat. They're still there, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so what do we know about seed time and harvest? It also is still a principle. These are main principles of God. This is the way he created the whole earth to work. Your life was created to work according to seed time and harvest. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? Sowing and reaping. Seed time is when you put it in the ground. Harvest is when you take it out of the ground. Hopefully you're not taking it out of the ground before it's ready to be taken out of the ground, because then it won't be any good for you. Amen. But we understand these principles. They are natural laws. They are spiritual laws. They are laws every way you can look at it, up, down, left, and right. What you sow is what you'll reap. So when you look at your life, praise God, hallelujah, I have this written down here. There are basically three reasons. This is what the Lord spoke to me this morning when I was getting out of the shower and I knew I was learning that my message was changing. This is what I heard in my spirit. There are basically three reasons that something happens to us. Three reasons. Now, there could be a lot of reasons, but they can all be summed up into three things. One, God is blessing us. Anyone like that? Everybody loves when God blesses them. Praise the Lord, I got blessing from God. This is a blessing of the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got some new babies in here. Mom is looking down saying, I am blessed. Blessed of God. Praise the Lord. Something happened to you. Blessed of God. So, number one, it's the blessing of God. Number two, it's an attack from the enemy. That would be the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Something you don't want, something you don't like, right? Praise the Lord. And then three has to do with both of those, because it can be either or. We've reaped what we've sown. Three things, three reasons it thinks. So if it's a blessing of God, we receive it and rejoice in it. Amen. That's how the Bible tells us to respond to it. If it's an attack of the enemy, we take our authority and stand against it, because it's not supposed to be there and it can't stay, right? Praise the Lord. But if we're reaping what we've sown, we don't have a whole lot of room to cry, because we're getting what we put out. Praise the Lord. If I never paid attention to my wife and then she left me and I got mad because she left me, I would be a fool, wouldn't I? Why? Because I didn't put into it. I didn't sow into it. That happens. Seen that a lot. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, as I was thinking about this here. I was thinking about this opportunity I had as a pastor once. I was counseling a woman, and she was making a bad decision in a relationship, okay? And what she wanted to do is she wanted to go have this relationship with this guy who wasn't saved, didn't have anything to do with God, all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, although I preach about it and say about it, when somebody tells me this is what I'm going to do, I can't say anything about it. Yeah. This is why I tell people, be very careful. Like, if you want my counsel, praise the Lord, then come to me and ask me for counsel. But if you come to me and say, this is what I'm going to do, praise the Lord, I'll bless you. Go do what's on your heart, because I can't change it. Right. Amen. If you think that God's told you something, I don't have a place to tell you it's not, unless it's specifically in the Word. Like if you say, well, God told me not to be in church anymore, I'll just tell you that in the Word. You know what I mean? Like if you told me, God, now if you said, well, God's leading me to this different church, I can't really stop that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But so this woman, she was doing this, and I was like, well, and she's like, well, as soon as he gets out, this is what was said to me, as soon as he gets out of jail, he's going to marry me, and he's going to come to church. Okay. So she moved out of an apartment that she was in. She was in a place where she relied on some assistance. And she was going to move out of this apartment. She moved into this other apartment. And she didn't check into everything. She was just going because it was one of his family members or something like that. But to make a long story short, there was a day when I was sitting there counseling her. And she's weeping with tears because it didn't work out. Of course, it didn't work out. But she's sitting there weeping and just weeping and weeping. And she says to me one of the most foolish statements that I've ever heard, but I've heard it often out of many Christians' mouths. I know God won't put on you any more than you can handle. But I don't know if I can handle this. Sister, God didn't put it on you. You chose it. You chose it because you chose not to listen. Now listen, people make decisions like that all the time. Am I saying that to come down on this woman? She's not here, by the way. But did I say that to come down on this woman? No, I'm showing it to show you extreme examples of how people are. This is normal for so many people in their lives. They make bad decisions and then they blame God for them not working out. You can't make bad decisions, blame God for them not working out, come to God in prayer and say, Lord, clean all this up. And just expect it all to go away because it doesn't work that way. Yeah, there is a principle. It is, we're told in Genesis 8:22, it disappeared on me, praise the Lord. But we're told in Genesis 8:22 that it is while the earth remains, seed time and harvest will be a truth. It will not change. We can reap so many bad, or we can sow so many bad seeds that God can't get us out of them. That's not popular, but it's the truth. That's why we have to endeavor, while it is today, to hear the voice of God, not to harden our hearts. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, this is just introduction, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so we understand this, that this is an absolute principle. We have to get this solid in our minds that what we reap is what we sow. What we reap is what we sow. And what we sow is what we reap. It just is. It's just going to be that way. Why? Listen, God wants you blessed. We're going to see that here. Turn with me to John 15:8. We went here last night. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. John 15:8. Love this scripture. We see here the truth of the word. By this my Father is glorified. By this. By what? By what he's about to say. By this my Father is glorified that you, say me, bear much fruit. Or you'd say, I bear much fruit, not me. We got some teachers in here, and I don't want to look at their faces while I speak wrong. Amen. The Lord. I bear much fruit. God is glorified when I bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. And my wife shared this with you. A disciple is someone who learns from him. Remember Jesus. What did he do? What was his job while he was here? It was not to heal the sick. His job while he was here was not to feed people. His job was not to make people better. His job was to glorify God. Our job as Christians is to glorify God. And how does God say that he's glorified? When we bear much fruit. Hallelujah. That means when you're blessed, God's glorified. And that's exactly what he's after. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we know this. We have some friends in the farming industry. They grow grapes and cherries, praise the Lord. grapes and cherries, praise God, paid for this building. Hallelujah. But we have friends that, got us some money so we could get it, praise the Lord, and do all the work to it. But grapes and cherries, one thing that they'll tell you, that if they don't go out there, you know, the harvest season, right now they're in the harvest season and they are crazy busy. They're working, they're on a shift of 24 hours a day just harvesting and doing all the things that they do. But they only do that for a short time. But the rest of the year, they ain't kicking back watching Looney Tunes, praise the Lord, you know, eating potato chips. No, what are they doing? They're preparing for this time. And so when it's not harvest time, you need to be preparing for harvest, or you will not have a harvest. Why? Because you have not reaped or sown. If you don't sow, if they don't go out and dress the vines, you know, you go have wild grapevines, and they'll have little bitty grapes on them and maybe a few of them that won't taste very good. But you go out into a farmer's vineyard where they have been cultivating the grapes and they've been trimming them and they've been keeping them just right. They will produce huge grapes and lots of them, praise the Lord. And that's how they have a harvest. But the same thing goes with us. If we're living a life where we're not sowing the right seeds, we're not going to reap the harvest we want. And God is not, like, this is the way He set it up. And so His blessing does not work against that. Now, God will bless, the Bible says, the work of your hands. I love that the Bible says that, that He blesses the work of our hands. What does that mean? It means as we put ourselves into the Word, as we become doers of the Word, He will bless that. He will cause better harvest. He will cause the people who want what we're harvesting to come in and buy it from us and increase us. But look how it works. It is not this just, you know, God's prosperity is not this like sprinkling pixie dust over the crowd and just boom, all of a sudden you got, you know, your wallet just grew fat and there's, you know, $1,000. And it's not the way that it works. And if you are trying to get God to do it that way, that is what people are doing who live a life that is not devoted to God. But then in trouble, they get down on their knees and they pray to God and they say, Lord, help me, help me, help me in this situation. And they don't hear anything. And they say, well, see, it doesn't work. The reason it doesn't work is because they haven't been sowing. And I'm going to tell you what I've seen every single time when God does help someone like that. Every single time I've seen God swoop in. Because every once in a while He does it. And you know why He does it? To show us the truth. Every single time He swoops in, as soon as those people get their help, they gone. They're out of there. Why? Because they were never in it for God. They were in it to get the help they wanted. They were in it to get what they wanted. And this is why Christianity looks the way it does today. Because so much of the church, praise the Lord, so much of the church could care less about revival because they could care less about the people that need to get saved because all they're wrapped up in is whatever they got going on in their life. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I said this last night and I'll say it again today. Poverty is designed by the devil to get you focused on yourself because anyone who's in poverty, the only thing they think about is their own stuff. How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to do this? They don't ever get out of that. And that's what they sow and that's why they continue to reap it. God does not desire that any of His people stay in poverty. It is not a desire of God. The very principle of sowing and reaping is an absolute sure way to get you out of poverty. How do I know? Because my wife and I lived it. My wife and I lived it. We stepped up. Why do we say these things? Why do we preach these things? Because we lived it. Because we stepped out of it. And I've seen others step out of it too. As people put the Word to practice, praise the Lord, it changes their lives. As poor as you can get in America, that's where we were. I mean, I can't imagine. When you can't pay your bills, that's pretty poor, right? You don't own barely anything, praise the Lord, or anything that's good or of any value. That's pretty poor, right? In America, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, worldwide, there's no poverty in it. Why aren't we there today? Well, it certainly isn't because the church is paying us to get out of it. The church is providing. I'm not saying that as an insult. I'm saying because that's not the way that it works. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so if we want God, if we want prayer to be some kind of magic pill, it's just not going to work. It just doesn't work. And I'm just telling you, you might want to go find a church that tells you that there's a magic pill or that tells you that God wants it that way. Because that's what Christians who don't want to receive the Word do. They either go somewhere where they won't preach so extreme that God wants it that way. Listen, I have looked in the face of somebody who's dying and told them that God wants to heal them. Praise the Lord. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. That's the truth of the Word. Now, why isn't every person, why isn't every single, now listen, if you're going through sickness right now, I wasn't talking about you. Praise the Lord. Just so you know, is he talking about me? Am I dying? Am I really dying? It's not going to work for me? No, that's not. I wasn't talking about you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But what my point is that this is what God's desire is. But, you know, you can sow seeds, you know, you can sow seeds like that, too. I mean, like, if you, you know, can somebody be saved and, for example, be a smoker? Sure, absolutely. But, you know, smoking does cause cancer. And you can't sit there and cry to God, why'd you give me cancer if you get cancer because you've been smoking? You know what I mean? The same thing with drinking. That's something we learned. Alcohol does the same thing that cigarettes do. Alcohol is poison to the body. Praise the Lord. Poison to the body. All the other drugs, poison to the body. You partake of them, you can still be saved. You know, I'm not saying that you necessarily go to hell if you partake of them. But you can't, like, plead God's healing. Praise the Lord if you're sowing bad seeds. Hallelujah. This is why my wife and I have been convicted about, you know, and we know it's a process. It's not easy. Like, I'm not where I need to be yet, but I'm working towards it. Why am I working towards it? Why are we working towards it diligently? Because we're getting older and we understand a very simple fact that if I'm not living healthy, then I can't look to God and say, Lord, keep me healthy, keep me healed. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you know, there's this truth in there, and we have to understand what we reap is what we sow. What we sow is what we reap. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we know this, that God's glorified when we bear much fruit. So we understand here, just by this simple scripture, that it is God's desire. But just in case you didn't believe it, pull up John 10:10 in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. John 10:10 in the Amplified, I might be a little bit ahead of them. That's fine because they have to, you know, type it all in and everything. The thief comes only, everybody say only, in order to steal and kill and destroy. That's the only reason the thief comes, is steal, kill, and destroy. If you have a thought that is not a godly thought and you grab onto it, you take it, you have just received, you have just reaped, praise the Lord. That's the seed. The devil is trying. The Bible says that the sower sows the word. That's what the sower that wants a good harvest. So the devil is doing just the opposite of that. How does he do it? He sows thoughts. He'll put a thought in your head. Well, you know, I don't need to go today. I went last week. Yeah. You know, I don't need to tithe this time. I can tithe next time. Well, you know, you'll come up with any justification that you want. You receive the seed, and what happens? You're going to receive the harvest. Amen? This is how he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, a lot of times, the devil doesn't have some magical power where he's standing over us and like, bzz, cancer, bzz, sickness. Here's a cold. Oh, the devil's got me again. No, that's not the way it works. The devil doesn't have any power. He's powerless. He doesn't, you know, his pitchfork, that's what I'm thinking. He's up there like, zap. Come poke you in the butt and say, "Here, there you go. Now your back hurts." That's it. That's not how it works. No. The devil works in thoughts. His playground is your mind. Yeah. And the more that you let him play, yeah. Well, praise the Lord, the more that you have. Yeah. That's why we take thoughts. We line them up against words and say, "Hey, wait a minute. This thought doesn't line up with the word. So I'm not going to receive this thought. Because if I receive this thought, then I've sown a seed and I'm going to reap from it." Let me say this again. I've sown a seed, and I will, as a matter of a fact, reap from it. Whatever you sow is what you'll reap. The devil is not controlling you. Addiction is not the devil keeping you bound. Addiction is the devil has convinced you that it was a good idea to get into the drugs in the first place, and you received it because you thought it was a good idea too. And then once you're addicted, because it's a natural process, it is not the devil keeping you bound. Why? Because there's many children of God that are addicted. They are not addicted because the devil's keeping them bound. They're addicted because they've received the thought from the devil. They received what he has given to them. See, people give too much glory and too much power to the devil. And yet when you try to tell somebody that God wants to heal because the word says, well, they don't want to say that because, you know, well, I don't know about that. When you tell God wants you prosperous because the word says that, well, I don't want to say that. But the devil, they're giving him all this power. He has no power. He's defeated. The Bible says he is already defeated. That means that there is no, you can't, a defeated foe is already wiped out. There is no winning to the defeated foe. All he has is the power of suggestion. And dumb Christians eat it up like candy. Yeah, they don't get in the word enough, and the devil comes give them a thought, and they say, oh, this sounds good. I'll go do this. Well, no, it isn't good. It isn't good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The thief comes in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to full till it overflows. God is glorified when you bear much fruit. When Jeff went from being a miserable, sloppy mess of an addict and everything else, just in huddled in a corner. You know, I've told you, hugging toilets that I wouldn't even use today, and that's not a lie, not an exaggeration. In apartments that I wouldn't even walk into, and I just pass out on the floor. I mean, this is the way that I lived. God wasn't glorified in that. The devil was. But when God brought me out of that, got me to take a shower more than once every couple weeks. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's the truth. Hallelujah. When he got me, yeah, why? Because filth is of the devil. Yeah. Lying, it's of the devil. Yeah. All these things, addiction. You go. Have you ever gone into a, you want to know how good a bar is? Just think about it from this standpoint. Walk into a bar. Don't walk into a bar. But if you've walked into a bar, you know something. What's one thing you know? They're almost always dirty. Yeah. Have you ever gone into a bar bathroom and thought, man, this is a really nice bathroom? Yeah. No, what do you know? Every time you go in there, you say, there might as well not even be toilets in here because people ain't using them. Yeah. They're using the walls. They're using the floors. They're using everything. And I've seen it all. Yep, praise the Lord. When I was drinking or I was on drugs, what did I do? I destroyed things. I went out, tore things apart. I lived in this in filth. Why? Because that's where the devil lives. Yes. Look up the madman of Gadara, and you'll see where he obsessed with the occult, obsessed with evil, obsessed with all these things. Yeah, I listened to nasty music. Well, praise the Lord. All kinds of things. Amen. That's not God. Amen. God's not in it. Amen. Look at the way people live their lives. We see it so often. These people that are living these party lifestyles and they're sleeping around, they're going out, they're doing all these things. What good is coming out of that? So listen, like if you just have a beer, you can have a beer and not go to hell. I'm convinced of it. Pastor Jeff just said you can have a beer and not go to hell. But when you're sipping that beer, I want you to think about all the stuff that's tied to that garbage. Yeah, think about it. Think about all the evil that's tied to it and just remember that you're partaking of it. Yeah. Go. Right. Child of God partaking of what the devil, those are just receiving thoughts. You see, people can argue back and forth, but I just look at the fruit of it. I just look at the things and think, you know what? This isn't good. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 13:10. Praise God. Am I being mean today? Honestly, I want to... Because I love God's people, and I hate what the devil does to them or convinces them of. Because when you know, this is why we get so passionate the way that we do, because when you know what God really has for his people, I mean, when you see it, amen, and I've seen it in my life. If I died today, I have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. Oh, my God. If I died today, I've seen it. I have seen one extreme to another, amen? And I haven't even walked into near what God has for me. Praise the Lord, and neither of you. But it's coming to those who want to sow towards it. And I believe that we're a church of people that want to sow towards it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And by the way, I just want to commend you because today is actually a day where preaching is easy. You're receiving the word good, and I can tell that it's doing exactly what God has intended to do. And that's a refreshing day as a pastor, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew, see, there's some people that, they'll take boldness and they get offended by it. But see, we understand that boldness is not something to get. We need boldness, amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. We need boldness because when we're heading off the cliff, we want to stop before we get over, amen? Yes. Matthew 13, verse 10. Praise the Lord. And the disciples came and said to him, Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. These, I was saying this last night, I'll share it with you again today. Before I understood these scriptures, they always bothered me. Why would God give to more to him who has and take away from, even, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. But look what it says here. It goes on to explain it, right? Therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, this is the explanation right here, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. The hearts of these people have grown dull. In other words, they have allowed themselves to accept untruths. They have allowed themselves to rejoice in iniquity. They have allowed themselves to receive things that aren't of God, or they hear the word and they say, well, you know, but I don't want to do that. Or my life, you know, it looks, you know, my life needs to look a little bit different or something like that. No, this is the way God intended all of us work. Works for all of us. Praise the Lord. I don't know if we have any different ethnic groups in here or how many different ones we have. But guess what? Doesn't matter what background you came from. Doesn't matter who your daddy or your grandparents are. It doesn't matter what ship you came over, praise the Lord, by choice or not. None of it matters. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The only thing that matters is that you follow Jesus. Yeah. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what your background is. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's what I love about God. He doesn't care that we could be a bunch of misfits, because we are. Yeah. Amen. But guess what? He wants to use these misfits for something real good. Yeah. He wants to help us, praise the Lord. Glory to God, because he's glorified when we bear much fruit. Yeah. Listen, if my kids go out and live like idiots, it doesn't glorify the parents. Everybody's going to look at us and say, well, they didn't do a very good job. But if the kids go out and live a great life, you know what they say now is they just say, well, those kids, those are really good kids. No, those kids were parented good. They were parented right. Amen. Praise the Lord. When your kids go out and live good because you parented right, well, then you need to take the credit for it. It's not just because the kids are good, because kids aren't good. Kids are foolish. They're foolish. The Bible says foolishness is bound in their heart. It means it's there. It wants to come out. It's bound and it wants to come out. You ever seen something that's bound? It don't want to be bound. And foolishness in a child is something that's trying to get out. You know what a lot of parents are doing? They're cutting those foolish ties free and say, hey, go ahead, run free. Yeah, they're doing that by letting the kids choose. But let the kids do. No, you tell your kids. You direct your kids. Why? Because that's what we do. Praise the Lord. Well, I know that the world doesn't love that, but, you know, the world's keeping. You know what? Praise the Lord. I just got to say something so interesting. California has gotten so stinking liberal that even the liberals aren't staying anymore, and they're moving other places and trying to ruin other places. You know, that liberal thinking, you know, that oh, anything goes, do whatever you want kind of thing. And let's have, you know, the government rule this thing out and rule that thing out and have control over this and control over that. It's gotten so bad. People are flocking out of the state into other states. It's a true story. Yeah. Think about that. Amen. Why do you think people? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. That's why we pray for our governor. Not because we like what he's doing, but because he needs prayer. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that's free, no charge, hallelujah. But I don't know where that came from, but I just felt that I needed to say that. I just, it's really interesting because California is absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's an amazing place. But it's controlled by such dipheads. It's just bad thinking. Oh, my gosh, they need an influx of God in that area. And they have good churches out there, but there's just, you know, the cities. The cities generally have a lot more, well, whatever. Praise the Lord. Where was I? Verse 15, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. Their ears of heart are hard of hearing. Doesn't mean they're going deaf. It means they're refusing to hear. And their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Look what he said. He said, I want to heal them. I wanted to heal them. But their ears and their eyes are rejecting it. People do this all the time. Praise the Lord. That's why some people don't like to stay in churches like ours. Yeah. That's why we don't retain everybody that comes through the doors. Yeah. Because when we preach bold, people don't like to hear bold because, you know, Jesus prophesied it. Amen? Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. real quick, I want you to go to, because I know we're getting, but this is one of the things the Lord dealt with me. We're going to go back and look at the great Italian prophet, Malachi. Praise the Lord. Can we go to Malachi 1? Praise the Lord. It's Malachi. I'm just kidding. Malachi 1, verse 6. This is what God spoke this to me as I was preaching last night. This he spoke to my heart. And so they didn't get this, but you're getting it today. Praise the Lord. We're talking about sowing and reaping, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is what God said to the prophet. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to the priests who despise my name. Now listen. You think that when he says the priests that despise his name, you're going to automatically think, oh, those are bad priests. Those are bad guys. Those aren't good ones that despise God's name. You got to remember, he's talking to his priests.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are serving him, the ones that are in his temple. Amen?
Yeah.
The ones that are calling themselves godly.
Yeah.
That we need to think about that. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yet you say, he says, in what way have we despised your name? That's exactly what they're saying. Wait a minute, God. We're at church.
Yeah.
We go to church. We're stirring up. We're doing the offerings. We're doing all the stuff that we're supposed to do. We're reading and helping, you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And what's he say? He says, you offer defiled food on my altar. But say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. That word contemptible means worthless. The table of the Lord is worthless. Now, are they actually saying this? No, they're not actually saying this. They are saying it by their actions. They are saying it by what they do. Let's keep reading. Praise the Lord. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? I know what you're saying. You're sitting there thinking, man, these guys are bad. You know, back in the Old Testament, when they brought an offering, they were to bring the best to offer before the Lord. And so if you're a farmer, if you were a farmer and you were, a sheep herder, or sheep farmer, whatever you want to call it, praise the Lord, you bring the best to sacrifice to God. And then they would burn that. You don't get it. That's what you brought to God, right? You brought the best. Hallelujah. What were they doing? They were finding the one, oh, this one's blind. This one's sick. Let's bring this one in. Are you seeing a connection yet? What do you bring to God? What are you sowing to the Lord? You go to God in prayer and you're saying, Lord, help me, help me, help me. But what are you giving to him? What are you doing for him? When you bring your offering, are you bringing the leftover? Just, well, I can do this. This is what I can do. This is what I want to do. Are you bringing or are you sacrificing to do it? When you give yourself to God, when you're giving your time to the Lord, are you sacrificing time? Are you saying, you know what? I could be doing this, this, and this, but I'm giving this to God because he's more important to me.
Yeah.
Are you doing that? Because if you're not, what you're doing is you're bringing the blind, you're bringing the sick, you're bringing the lame. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 8. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Now think about that. We can think it not just to the governor, but to anybody. Think about whoever you want close to you and to do well for you. You want your spouse to do well for you, and yet you give them just, you can have this little bit I got left over. You do that, they're not going to be happy. But God isn't happy either. And see, this is the problem with so many in Christianity today is they're living their lives based on what they want to do and not considering what God wants them to do. Not considering what God has them to do. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. It's the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think about stuff like this when I sacrifice the things that we sacrifice when we sacrifice them. Amen. Am I sacrificing enough? Am I giving God my best, or am I just bringing him my leftovers? But now entreat God's favor. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I could go on a tangent, but I'm not. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? What is the answer to these questions? It's no. God is not looking kindly down on his people saying, you know what? They could care less about me. They could care less about my kingdom. They could care less about bearing fruit. So they're just doing their own thing. And then they come to me in prayer and say, God, bless me. They reject the offering. When I say the offer, I mean the offering of themselves. Whatever in life, whatever God. There is nothing in my life God can't touch. You know why? Because it's all his. And I've recognized that. Why are my family blessed? Because there's nothing in my life God can't touch. There's nothing in my life that I would withhold from him. Anything I own is his. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. My wife and I, well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to go there. Praise the Lord. Will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut, praise the Lord, who would shut the door so that you would not kindle the fire in my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. And now he's talking about a lot of things that they did back then, but the understanding is what they're offering to God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. They're offering it in vain. And there's people that aren't even willing to say, you know, we can't do this anymore. It's not right. Let's have people that look at the house of the Lord and they think, yeah, why are you doing that to it? Why are you making it nicer? You know why? Because it's my Father's house. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's where his people congregate and his spirit wants to come. Yeah. That's why I take care of it. Yeah. That's why, and I don't care if other people don't like it. I don't care. We actually had that question. What was wrong with the new windows look a lot better, don't they? Praise the Lord. The new front looks a lot better, doesn't it? We could have just been in a building, but that's not where God's glorified in that. He's glorified when his people are progressing, when his people are, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Verse 11, for from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And every place incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it. People do that. They say, well, so, you know, we're hearing this again. We're talking about being right again, and I don't want to hear it. And, you know, that's what they're doing. They're sneering at it. Yeah. They're not receiving the word. The word's being preached to people, and people are taking it like, man, maybe, maybe not. Mm. Yeah, people do that. People do that in this church. I believe not today, praise the Lord. We're being sober-minded about it. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemish. Let me reread that in modern English. Cursed is the person who's trying to deceive by having something that's really good and bringing little to God and saying that this is it. This is what I have for you. Yeah. He said they're cursed. Christians are cursed. Why? Because that's what they're doing. They're not bringing God their best. Now there's people in here, listen, if you're bringing God the best, you know it. You know it. So don't get upset by this. Let it encourage you. That's what I let it correct me and encourage me. This thinking, I let correct me and encourage me. God is bringing you my best. And if I know that I am, praise the Lord. If I know that I'm not, well, guess what I'm doing? I'm changing it. Right? Why? Why does God answer my prayers? Why does God speak to me? Why does God show me things? Praise the Lord. Because as much as I know, I bring him my best. Listen, I'm not saying, oh, Pastor Jeff is so awesome, he brings the best. Well, there's lots of Christians that bring their best. Yeah. But there's lots of Christians, a lot more Christians, that bring him just the leftover. Yeah. Here's the last hour I have of my week, because this is the only hour that they spent with him, is in church. Or hour and a half, whatever. Yeah. But cursed is a deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemish. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. And my name is to be feared among nations, or reverenced, respected. Praise the Lord. So we don't take it lightly. That's why we don't play games. We don't play the games of the other churches. Sometimes people say, well, you know, sometimes people look at us because they look at us wrong because we don't just jump in on every bandwagon that every church is doing. Why don't we? Because I'm not saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. With people, I'm not going to rub elbows with somebody who sits there and say that God doesn't want you healed. I'm not going to sit there and rub elbows with somebody who says God wants you poor. God's put this on you because he wants you to learn something from it. I'm not going to rub elbows with somebody who calls the word of God a lie, because the word of God is the Son of God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We're going to close with this. Galatians 6:7-8 in the Amplified. Glory to God. I want you to bring it up there because I can read it here on my phone, but praise the Lord. We don't want to be those people. But furthermore, we want to know that our prayers are going to be answered, that when we go to God, that we have. But see, that's the other side of all this, is that when you do your best in that area, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you just do your best. When you do your best in that area, the other side of this is the assurity that God is going to come through for you. And that he will answer you. And that the answer always does go in your favor. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived, Christian. Don't be deluded and don't be misled. Oh, I love that. Hallelujah. Don't be deceived. Don't be deluded. Don't be misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside. What are his precepts being set aside? People who say, or just, you know, again, like he said there, they weren't actually saying it, but people who don't receive seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping, they don't receive the teaching of it. They're people that just set his precepts aside. He said he's not going to be mocked, but it's mocking God when you say, it doesn't work that way. Why? Because the word says it does. Jesus said he is the word. The Bible says that he is the word. He's the very word of God. You got to understand the importance of that. When we set his word aside, when we reject what the word says, praise the Lord, because of what we experience or what we think or whatever, what we want, when we set this aside, we are mocking and sneering at God. But he says, don't be deceived, because God isn't going to allow himself to be. Listen, folks, there are things that the Bible directs us to do, and if we don't do them, God, because we know because we're preached it, right? That's why some people don't like these kind of churches, because they want to go not hear it all, because they'd rather be in ignorance, because then at least they think that they can stand there before God and say, well, I didn't know. Yeah. But guess what? Family church, there's one coming near you. Hallelujah. There's one close to you. Praise the Lord. And if there isn't, we're reaching out. But that's also why the devil's trying to stop us. Praise the Lord. Because he doesn't want that. The devil doesn't want people to know the truth. Because the more people know the truth, the more people are dangerous against his kingdom. Yeah. Verse 8. Finish 7. Yeah. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, woman too, praise the Lord. You know, if we got to include the women in the good verses, we got to include it in the harsh verses too. For whatever a man or woman sows, that and only that, or that only, is what he will reap. Praise the Lord. The Bible says this. That and only that is what you'll reap. Praise the Lord. Go to the next verse. For he who sows to his own flesh, the lower nature, sensuality, just the feelings. Just do what you're feeling. Just what I feel today. Instead of following God, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Hallelujah. And so we see the truth of the word there. I presented it to you. Glory to God. Sowing and reaping. Let me sum this up real quick for you. If you have an area where you need to reap, then that's the area you need to sow. How do you sow into? One of the great, you know, I often say it, if you have need of making a mortgage payment, sow into somebody else's mortgage. That's a good way of sowing and reaping. Hey, sowing to the building program, praise the Lord. There's ways of doing it. If you have healing, start praying for people. Get into the word. Sow the word into yourself. Go around praying for other people. Talk about healing like it's actually true. Yeah. And not like you just need it. Right. If you need healing, start laying your hands. Get bold. Go out there in public and still go up to someone and say, you know what? My God heals. Yeah, how about that? You know what that is? That's called sowing and reaping. Why are Christians? Because Christians are sitting around saying, oh, I'm sick all the time. I'm sick all the time. I'm always broken. They're saying that the word of the Lord is contemptible. They're saying that yes. Praise the Lord, because that's not what God has intended. I'm poor all the time. I never have enough. He's told you how to get out of there. Yeah. Well, the Bible's given us great, Luke 6:38 is great direction on how to get out of poverty. Yeah. You're in poverty, start giving. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Find every place you can to give. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. not just talking about the church. I'm talking about every place you can. Yeah. Amen. You know what my wife and I do? We spend our lives looking for places that we can give. And that is why every single year we give more and more and more and more and increase more and more and more and more. Why? Because we're looking for places to give. Why? Because the Bible says that he who waters will himself be watered. Yeah. Give and it'll be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Does anybody could use that? Amen. I love running over. Amen. Glory to God. God is a running over God. We want more God. We want more direction in our life. Sow more to the Spirit. Get in the Word more. Get in prayer more. Get into church more. You know, maybe you have nothing to sow. You know what? There's been people that have come to the church and said, you know what? I don't have anything, but I have this. I have this skill, and I can do this, and I'll do this for you. Or there's people who just say, I have this skill, and I want to do this and do that. And they do it faithfully. Guess what that is? That's sowing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But people say, well, you know, all these things, these other things, they're more important than, you know, more important than being, you know, coming together. I wasn't planning on ranting on this, but coming together is more than just about you coming to church to get your fix. Coming together is because I need you and you need me. And Mark needs Melinda and Tammy and Dwayne. Praise the Lord. And on, my Aunt Jean. And not just because they're family. I mean, they're not specifically family, you know, like blood, but we're the same family. Yeah. But we need each other. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So it's saying the people of God is contemptible when you can reject it for something that just doesn't matter. Then see where God is when you want an answer to your prayer. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing. People all the time, they're trying to just go to God in prayer and praying some foolish, non-understanding prayer. Instead of just going and doing what the Word says and being helped and set free. Praise the Lord. He does it every time when people connect. Praise the Lord. Because God is a good God. Praise the Lord. And He is glorified when we bear not just good fruit, but much fruit. Well, let's be people that bear much fruit.